Just a short addendum to last week. I don't plan on doing this often, but I thought it was particularly relevant. The Gregors called to my attention that, first of all, they thought I was a little bit too sympathetic to the anti-circumcision activists, which I didn't really mean to be, but they pointed me to studies which have, by Johns Hopkins, which have recently confirmed some of the health benefits of circumcision, and that apparently claiming that public health costs will rise with if circumcision rates decline. Also, I pointed out that one of the reasons that these activists are against circumcision is because they claim it dulls a sensation of the aver, but that's actually stated by the Rambam as perhaps one of the benefits of circumcision. The Rambam says that one of the reasons for the mitzvah of milah is that that we want to have greater control over our sexual desires. So the milah, the circumcision, is symbolic of that. So I don't know if it's true or not that it really reduces sensation, but in our book that might be a benefit, although we can understand that in general society it tries to get as much pleasure out of Olam Hazeh as possible, that might be a reason that they would want to refrain. Okay, so we made a siyum on Sefer Bereishis. Please help yourself to the refreshments. And we're going to start today Sefer Shmos. So it's Sefer Chinuch says, Parshas Ve'ela Shmos to Parshas Ve'era Ein Bahen Mitzvos. The first two parshas of Sefer Shmos have no mitzvos, and then he starts with Parshas Bo. And we know that the Rashi says, as I mentioned before, that Parshas Bo should seemingly be the beginning of the Torah, because that contains the first real mitzvah that God commanded the Jewish people as a whole directly. The Torah does not begin in Parshas Bo, so we had three mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis, which was a cinch, and we completed it. So, but now, here at the Sefer Chinuch says, Bo el paro yesh ba teisha mitzvos, something we can sink our teeth into. Parshas Bo has nine mitzvahs in, as opposed to the three parshas and Sefer Bereishis, which contained mitzvahs, had only one mitzvah each. So now we're going to spend a little bit of time on Parshas Bo. Yesh b'teisha mitzvos asei, v'achas esrei mitzvos lo sasei. There are nine positive commandments and 11 negative commandments for a total of 20 mitzvos in Parshas Bo. So we're going to spend a little time. We can immerse ourselves in Parshas Bo as opposed to Sefer Bereishis, where it was a little bit harder to grasp on. So the Sefer Chinuch begins. That mitzvah Dalid is mitzvahs kiddush hachodesh, the mitzvah that we are commanded to sanctify the new month at its proper time. And we're going to discuss what that time is. So the Sefer Chinuch says, L'kadesh chadashim, ul'aber shanim bevezdin godol bechokhma samuch ba'aretz. To sanctify the months and to create leap years as appropriate in the great court, great and wise court, which has received rabbinical ordination in the land of Israel. We're going to discuss a little bit later about exactly what that means in this context. Velikboa moadei hashana al pi oso kiddush. Obviously, at what time the holidays fall out is dependent on when you sanctify the new month, because we know the holidays are on the 15th of the month, on the 1st of the month, on the 10th of the month. So, depending on when you sanctify the new month, that's when the holiday is going to fall. Shenemar, the Torah says, Hachodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodashim. This month is for you the first of the month, the first of months. Kilomar, so what is the meaning of when God tells us this? Keshetiru chidusha shel levana, when you see the new moon, tikbu lachem rosh chodesh. That's when you should declare that there is the new first day of the month. O afilu lo tiruha, but even if you don't actually see it, Mikevan shehi reuya leheiro, since it's possible to be seen, al pi acheshbon hamakubal, according to the calculation that we use, then you can also sanctify it as the day of the month. You don't. It's up to the Bezdin's discretion whether they want to sanctify the new month based on the actual sighting of the new moon or based on a calculation that they know based on astronomy, that the new moon will be seen at this time. And we're going to discuss a little bit later, the Sefer Chinuch is going to discuss in greater detail how we do it nowadays, that we don't actually observe the new moon and declare a new month based on that. So, the Sefer HaChinuch continues, V'chein tichlol mitzvah zo, this mitzvah includes mitzvahs ibur hashana, the mitzvah of literally impregnating the year, making it bigger, giving it an extra month. Lefi sheyisod mitzvahs kiddush hachodesh, the basis of the mitzvah of sanctifying the new month, kidei sheyasu Yisrael moadei Hashem b'moadam, that the Jewish people should celebrate the holidays of God and their proper time. Kimokain mitzvahs ibur hashana mizeh haysodhu. It's for that self-same reason that we are required to have leap years with an extra month in it, and we're going to discuss a little bit later why. Ve'ulam milavad zeh hamikra bo heiraos b'chsuvei hatorah. Besides this pasuk that we already quoted, there are other mentions in the Torah of the idea of creating a leap year. And that's what's written in the later in this parsha. V'shomarta es hachuka hazos lemoada. You shall keep this commandment at its time, meaning Pesach. Pesach has to fall in its proper time in the spring. So that's why you have to have leap years, as we'll explain later. V'chein shamor es chodesh ho'aviv. Keep the month of the spring, that the month of Nisan has to be always fall in the spring. And we'll discuss that. Okay. V'inyan ha-mitzvah kein. The idea of the mitzvah is as follows. Sheboim shnei Yisraelim, two Jewish men, who are ksherim, who are appropriate to serve as ritual witnesses, lifnei habeisdin, before the rabbinic court, umeidim bifneim, they testify in front of them, shero halavana bechidusha, that they saw the new moon. The moon has a cycle where it waxes and wanes, and at a certain point it's not visible, and then there'll be a tiny sliver visible, so when you see the first new sliver, when two people testify that they saw the first new sliver, then the Beis Din can, v'kovim rosh chodesh al pihem she'omrim, the Beis Din, the court, establishes that today is the first day of the month by their testimony. Then the Beis Din says, hayom mekudash. That's all they need to say. They just say, hayom mekudash. Today is sanctified with the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh. Same reason that what makes someone not a kosher aid for Kiddush HaChodesh would be something that would make them not a kosher aid for any other purpose of the Torah. If they violate a negative commandment, or they, it goes without saying, if they don't keep Shabbos or something like that, they're not fully observant Jews, then, or they're too young, they're under bar mitzvah. It's also, women are not cannot serve as witnesses in the Jewish tradition. But that's the way it goes. V'tam she'ein mitzvah zo ela bismuchin. The reason that this mitzvah is only with people who have received official rabbinic ordination, l'fi sheba b'perush hachodesh hazeh lachem, when God, the interpretation of the verse, hachodesh hazeh lachem, this month will be for you, God's talking to Moshe and Aaron, gedolim usmuchim kimoschem, great people and with rabbinical ordination such as you, Akila Moshe v'Aaron Nemar. This was given to Moshe and Aaron. God gave Moshe Smicha. He was the original. How do we know? That's by definition. He's the source of all Jewish tradition, so he gets the Moshe Kibel Torah Misuna Misora Yeshua. Right, exactly. So this rabbinical ordination that they're referring to over here, that Sefer Chinuch is talking about, is not the rabbinical ordination that we have today. The original rabbinical ordination, which was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu down to Yeshua, down through all the generations, was a special ordination which entitled someone to greater privileges than rabbis have today. Basically, the smicha, or rabbinical, that we have nowadays, is a permission from one's teacher to give, to teach people and to decide halachic matters. We have two levels of smicha today. One is called yore yore, he may teach, which means that you're entitled to rule on matters of ritual law, and one is called Yadin Yadin, which means that you're entitled to be a rabbinic judge and adjudicate matters of, say, gittin, divorce, and complex marriage cases. So that simply, it doesn't endow you with any special powers. It just is a, it's a communal, it's a recognition on a communal level from one's teacher that one is entitled to serve in a capacity of a religious leader. So the smicha that was originally entitled one to adjudicate certain types of disputes, which we no longer can do, called knossos, when fines. And it allowed you to do certain things, like we're discussing here, do Kiddush HaChodesh. We don't have fines nowadays, no.
Why?
Not the fines in the technical sense of the Torah. But this smicha actually continued, the original smicha continued much later than you think. It continued till about the 5th century CE or so in Eretz Yisrael. Part of the condition for this smicha is that it has to be conferred in the land of Israel. If someone gets the official, the real smicha in the land of Israel, and they leave, they go somewhere else, they may continue to serve in their official judge capacity. But if the ordination itself cannot be conferred outside the land of Israel. So when the center of the Jewish people transferred from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonia, that was part of the reason that this smicha was discontinued. And now in Babylonia, they only had the imitation smicha. It's actually been discussed a few times how we can restore the original smicha, the real smicha. So the first attempt that we know of after it had already stopped being in force was by someone by the name of Rabbeinu Yaakov Beirav, and he lived in Tzfat in the 16th century, and he was a teacher, actually, of the Beis Yosef, who was the author of the Shulchan Aruch, considered the greatest halachic authority, pretty much. And he wanted, basically, to convene a court with official smicha, because he wanted to, because there were people from Spain who were expelled from Spain who were approaching him. They said, unfortunately, we had to pretend to convert to Christianity, and we're really upset about this. We want to do tshuva, but we're afraid we have committed a sin for which you're chayev karis, the spiritual excision. So there is a halacha that states that if the punishment of malchus, of lashes, is administered to someone who's chayev karis for their sin, then they are exempt from the karis, from the spiritual excision. So the people coming out of Spain, the Muranos, wanted to receive lashes so that they would be exempt from their kares should they be chayev kares. So Ma'ari Beirav wanted to reinstitute smicha based on a Rambam, who states something which is not really found in earlier or later sources. The Rambam says that if you gather together all the rabbis in the land of Israel and you agree to give someone real smicha, even though they don't actually have real smicha. Normally, real smicha has to be passed down from teacher to student, teacher to student, teacher to student. But the Rambam says that if you gather together all the rabbis in the land of Israel, then you can reconfer smicha. So Ma'ari Beirav gathered together most of the rabbis of the land of Israel. He couldn't get, of course, there were Jews, he couldn't get everyone to agree to confer smicha, but he did confer smicha on a few people, including the Beis Yosef. So the author of the Shulchan Aruch, if you accept the Ma'ari Beirav, actually had real smicha. But there was the rabbis at Tzfat basically went along with this, but the main rabbi who was in Yerushalayim, the Maharal Bach, was very opposed to this, and he said, hey, I don't agree. So you don't have all the rabbis in the land of Israel to agree to this, so you're... Yeah, your smicha is no good. So even this new reinstitution of the smicha sort of petered out. There were a few people who got smicha at the time. They gave to one or two of their students, and that was it. Nowadays, you may also have read in the news that there's some movement to reconstitute the Sanhedrin, but that's pretty...
even less of a chance of all the rabbanim in Israel agree.
Nowadays, there's even less of a chance, that all the rabbanim will agree. And that's, as far as I know, that body, for what it's worth, even if you do accept that it has some authority, has not done anything significant, but most people do not accept their authority.
At the time when the Sanhedrin decided when a year would be a leap year or not,
yeah.
Was there any particular, were they just saying, gee, it seems awfully early in the year, should we, you know, we should have another Adar? I mean, was there any system to it?
There were certain signs where they saw that it was still wintry and it was going to be almost Pesach time, so they added an extra month. They told based on weather and climate that they observed.
I think it should note the importance of this mitzvah, just a little historical note. It's well known that the Avonim tried to prevent the Shabbos and Mila.
Right.
The third thing that they also tried to prevent also, and that was all control of the Hebrew calendar.
Oh, the Seleucid Greeks originally, even before that, they tried to get rid of the calendar? So the importance, right, so the importance of this mitzvah is demonstrated by the fact that this is one of the big three that the Greeks tried to get rid of. They tried to get rid of Shabbos, they tried to get rid of Mila, they tried to get rid of our control over the calendar. But yeah, because if you don't have this mitzvah, if you don't know when the holidays are going to be, you're stuck. You know, can't have the Jewish life, cannot function at all. So continuing... So the Ode Darshu Hadavar Midisomachlo, another emphasis on this, the fact that it has to be with smuchim, real smuchim. Dabru Kol Adas Yisrael Kolomar Shehelehem Losan Shekachu Achodesh Rishus Kol Yisrael. It says, speak to all the nation of Israel, which implies that the people who engage in Kiddush Achodesh and sanctifying the new moon in the future have to be authorities over all the Jewish people. Kilomar, that meaning Chachamim Gidolim Shibisrael, the biggest sages of the Jewish people. Kagon Besdin Agodol. Just like the great rabbinic court that used to exist when they still had real smicha. It doesn't have to be, the Kiddush HaChodesh does not have to be done specifically in the great rabbinic court, but still has to be, they have to be on a similar level of wisdom. V'chein kol mi shehu chacham gadol b'Yisrael, anyone who's a great sage in Israel, v'nismach b'Eretz Yisrael, and received real rabbinical ordination in the land of Israel, v'hasmichos yadua echosinoso. We know how to perform smicha. It doesn't actually involve laying one's hands on one student's head. It just says, hareata samuch, behold, you have smicha, and... that's the way it worked, but again, we don't have that anymore. So Yeshlo Rishus Lasos Mitzvah Zo Afilu Bechutzalaretz. So if somebody receives real smicha in the land of Israel, they have permission to continue performing Kiddush HaChodesh even outside the land of Israel. So Vehu Shelo Hiniach Kemoso Baretz. There's a big caveat here that you can have to be the great. You couldn't have left anyone in Eretz Yisrael who was worthy of performing this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Well, if they saw the new moon, then they'll send word that in fact the new moon was seen earlier. So it's by definition it's just a factual thing. If they receive the testimony, then if any appropriate court that's entitled to perform Kiddush HaChodesh does it, then it works. In other words, the month can either have 30 or 31 days. It doesn't take more than 31 days for the moon to be seen from one month to the next. So therefore, if either it's seen on the 30th day, in which case the Beis Din declares the 30th day to be the first day of the next month, and the previous month had only 29 days, or if they don't see the moon on the 30th day, then they know that the moon will be seen on the 31st day, so you don't have to do anything. It's automatic that becomes the next day of the month. The only what we call Shabbos Mevarchin, where we get up and the Chazan takes a Sefer Torah in Shul, and says that on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, that Rosh Chodesh will be on a certain day of the week, is just a reminder that Rosh Chodesh is going to be on a certain day. It doesn't, to remind the whole community, it doesn't directly have to do with the ancient practice of Kiddush HaChodesh, of actually declaring that, oh, we saw the moon, and we're making today the first day of the new month. Yeah. By the way, just as a side note, it used to be that the service of Shabbos Mevarchim, of sanctifying, quote, what we call sanctifying the new month, used to be used to take about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. It used to start Mishas and Nisim Lavosei. No, they didn't say that he wrote some before, which is another problem of how can you say your own needs? How can you ask for your own needs on Shabbos? You know, we're normally not supposed to do that. So originally, they just started, the Chazan just said, Mishas Nizim Lavaseinu, Vigal Sam, Rosh Chodesh, Yeh B'Yom, whatever, Yechadcheo Kodesh Baruch Hu, that line, the Kol answered Amen, that was it. Now, with the whole elaborate thing that we sing, the Yeratzan, it takes forever, the Chazan singing away, and it's a big thing, people make a Kiddush on Shabbos Mevarchim, used to be a very short thing, just to remind people when Rosh Chodesh was going to be.
I remember the Mishnah.
The people who testify that they saw the new moon just have to be kosher witnesses.
The people
receive the testimony and declare the new month to have begun have to be the Chachamim, the great sages. So, V'chein Matzinu, She'asu kein Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua, V'Akiva ben Yosef, the famous Rabbi Akiva, She'hayu ben Yanzeh. There was a case where Rabbi Akiva, who was the greatest rabbi in the world, and he left Eretz Yisrael for some reason, although he had real smicha, obviously. And he declared it to be the new month outside the land of Israel because there was no one bigger than him who remained in the land of Israel. So he had a right to do that. Aval bilti tanoim elu, without these conditions, ein rishus l'shum adam Yisrael. No Jewish person has no permission whatsoever likboach adashim ulaber shanim to establish that this is the first day of the new month, and to declare that this year is a leap year. So now we're going to get to the question that all of you have probably been wondering about. V'im tishal, if you ask, im kain, if so, heyach anu osin hayom shein lanu chachamim smuchim, we have no smicha nowadays, how can we maintain a Jewish life? All the holidays, we should have no idea when they are. Da, no. Shekach kibalnu, our tradition is as follows. Sherebi Hillel Hanasi, Beno Shel Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. This chronology is a little funny because Rebbe Hillel, who invented the calendar, was not the son of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. He was much later. Rebbe Hillel, who made the fixed calendar, was much later than Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. But anyway, this is how the Sefer Achinuch formulates it. Apparently, there are different readings in the Sefer Achinuch. Anyway. He was the greatest of his generation, and he received smicha in the land of Israel. That's when the smicha was already petering out. The Hu HaChacham, that great sage, Shetikein Lanu Cheshbon Ha'ibor. He established for us a fixed calculation that we use to calculate when it should be a leap year. The Hu Kidesh Chodoshim V'Iber Shanim Ha'asidim Lavo Achiyavo Eliyahu. Using this calculation, he for the future, what's the opposite of retroactively?
Prospectively.
Excellent. Yes. Prospectively sanctified all new months because he said, I know this is when the moon is going to be seen. I know this is when we're going to need a leap year. So he and his court established a fixed calendar and made Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctified all the new months until Eliyahu comes, until we greet Mashiach. This is what we rely on today, that our calendar is fixed. The truth is, it's a little bit off from when the moon is actually seen. It's not exactly accurate, but it doesn't matter, because the time for the new month is squarely in the hands of the court, of the Beis Din. So if they declare, it doesn't matter if they get something not exactly accurate according to astronomical sightings or whatever. It matters what they say. So since this is the calendar that we have fixed and this is what we used and was prospectively sanctified such a long time ago, this is what we use today. Now, this was actually part of the objection of the Maharal Bach to the new smicha that was instituted by Mahari Beirav. Mm-hmm. Because it's not exactly certain, what did Reb Hillel mean when he created this calendar for us? Mm-hmm. Did he mean nobody else has permission ever to recreate, to be Mekadesh months by sighting the new moon until Mashiach comes and we have reconstitute the Jewish legal system as it's supposed to be? Or did he mean that I we're running out of time where the smicha is petering out. We're not going to have people who are capable of being mekadesh according to citing the new moon. So we have no choice but to create a fixed calendar for Jewish life to continue. But if somebody else comes along who does have real smicha and they have and they want to start being sanctifying the new months in the proper way by citing the new moon, sei gesund. That's the way it should be. So I'm only creating my calendar temporarily. So if you say like the first way, then there's no problem because he was mekadesh them no matter what until Mashiach comes. But if you say the second way, that it's only till someone new comes along who's willing to start being mekadesh according to citing the new moon, then you have problems. Because if you give someone smicha, if you have now a court who can accept testimony for the new moon, then maybe the whole calendar is just batel. It completely gets canceled. So that's what Maharal Bach said. See, if you just want to keep using the fixed calendar, and then you have problems, because now that you're a group that's able to do it, you have to be sanctify the new month according to the Re'iyah. They were planning on just continuing to use the calendar, so I guess they would just say that, well, we're also prospectively be Mekadesh according to this calendar. But really, the correct way is to sanctify the new month by seeing the moon. And hopefully soon we will have this system restored. See, but part of the nice thing about this calendar is that it's made in such a way that certain holidays can never fall on certain days of the week. So, for example, Yom Kippur Yom Kippur should never fall on Friday or Sunday, so you shouldn't have 2 days in a row where you cannot cook and can't carry and do all these things, because Yantiv, at least, when it's right before Shabbos, you can cook for Shabbos. But Yom Kippur, you can't, so there'd be major, major problems. So the Yom Kippur, as of now, cannot fall on Friday or Sunday. Of course, when you don't have a fixed calendar and it's just whatever goes, then all the holidays can fall on any day of the week. Now, what I want to know is, if they're already rigging the calendar, why couldn't they rig Purim that it shouldn't fall on Friday? Nobody likes Purim to fall on Friday. That's much worse than other things that it's rigged not to happen. Anyway, well, okay, so apparently someone claimed that the final version of our calendar was set up by Rav Sajigon, which is interesting because Rav Sajigon didn't have real smicha, so he didn't have power to do so. I don't have to look into that more. I never heard that before. But also, Rav Sajigon had a polemic with the Karaites, because the Karaites didn't accept the whole rabbinic tradition. So the Karaites decided that they were going to sanctify the new months according to the sighting of the new moon, like it is a basic meaning of the text, the plain text of the Torah. So Rav Sajigon, if he tinkered with the calendar, which I've never heard before, but it probably had to do with his polemic with the Karaites. Rav Hillel set up an astronomical calculation which could be used at any time for eternity in theory. Again, it does keep getting a little bit more inaccurate, which is a problem. But in theory, his calculation could be used indefinitely to determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to fall. It's a 19-year cycle or something like that. So that was indefinite, basically. Yeah, it was Mekadesh all the months indefinitely. Right, his Bezdin said, here are the rules for we're distributing them to all the Jewish people, that this is the fixed calendar that you have to follow, because we have smicha and you all have to listen to us. In those times there was no, who's a bigger rabbi, who are we going to listen to? You had a set system of these were the rabbis. You followed the majority of their decisions and the majority rule. And that was it. Okay, so continuing. Zesha Amarnu, Hu Aldas HaRambam, Zichrono Lebracha. The previous discussion is based on the opinion of the Rambam. The HaRamban, Nachmanides, Zichrono Lebracha, Yachshov Kiddush HaChodesh Mitzvah Achas, he counts the sanctification of the new month one mitzvah, the Ibor Shanim, making of leap year is a separate mitzvah. The Rayosov B'Sefer HaMitzvos Shelo, and his in his criticisms of the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, his Book of Commandments, the Ramban is going to discuss his reasons why he holds like this. B'chein Baal Halachos, the Bahag, the original counter of the mitzvos, also counted them as two separate mitzvos. The Apostle Mori al Mitzvos HaYibor, the pasuk that indicates that we have to create leap years, kilomar shenachshov hatkufos kedei shenase moadim bizman hakavolem, that we should calculate the seasons so that we should do the holidays in their appropriate time. Who? B'shomar toas achuko hazos lemoada. Keep, as we said before, you shall keep this law at its proper time, the law of Pesach. The chain, and similarly, shamor es chodesh ha'aviv kemo shekosavnu. Keep the month of the spring, as we said. So we see that the month where Pesach falls, Nisan, has to be in the springtime, obviously. Otherwise, it wouldn't be much of a, you know, we wouldn't have the song, Simcha Rabba, Aviv Higia Pesach Ba. Wouldn't work. If it's like in the Muslim calendar, Ramadan can fall, because they only have a lunar calendar with 12 months, so it's not synchronized at all with the solar calendar.
Who made their calendar?
So the Ramadan can be at any time of year. Mishorshe mitzvah zo, from the reasoning for this mitzvah. Kadei sheyasu Yisrael moadei Hashem bizmanon, so that the Jewish people know how to observe the divine holidays. She Hashem Yisbarach tziva lasos Pesach bizman shatua ba'aviv. That God commanded us to make Passover at the time where the produce is springy. Kimoshi Kasuv, as it's written, Shamor Eschodesh Aviva Sisa Pesach, keep the month of the spring and make Pesach. The Chag HaSukos, Bizman HaAsif. Sukkos is celebrated when we're... That also wouldn't work if it kept getting earlier. Tkufas HaShana. V'ilule Ibur HaShanim, if we did not have... making leap years. Yavo ha-moadim shelo bizman ha-meilu. They would come in not at the proper times, like Ramadan, lahavdil. Lefishi Yisrael mechashvim chodsheyem u-moadeyem limeishnas halafona. Because in the Jewish religion, we celebrate our holidays in accordance with the lunar months. However, oh, sorry, Shehem, 354 yom, the 354 days, Cheshos, 8 hours, and 476 chalokim. It's a fraction of an hour. V'hi chosra mishna sachama yud yamim. It's less than the solar year. 10 days, 21 hours, 204 chalokim. And he gives a simon for you of what, to remember the numbers. Uvishul hatvuos, the ripening of the produce, vaperos, and the fruits, v'chocha shelchama, that's obviously under the domain of the sun. Depending on how, that's like, in depending on how warm a summer it is, that's how good wine will be, if the grapes are sufficiently ripe or not. Because the riper they are, the more sugar they have, and the better wine, and the higher alcohol content they will produce. Yes, nimso she'ilulei ha'ibor, if it weren't for the ibor, she'anu mishavim, Bo shnas halavana b'shnas achama, we synchronize the lunar year with the solar year. Lo yavo ha-pesach bizman ha-aviv. Pesach will not come in the springtime, v'sukas bizman ha-asif, and the sukas at the harvest time. V'niskan ha-dover le-he-osos b'gdolei ha-dor. The reason that the making of the calendar is reserved for the greatest people in the generation is v'ishu inyan chachma gedola. It takes a lot of wisdom, both in astronomy and in the Torah, to decide when we have to make a leap year and when we have to sanctify the new month. Gam yomru ki mimenu yivoda mikra hashana batvos, because they will say the times that they will know what type of year it is based on the produce. The ein roi limosro ela ligdolim v'chasidim. Not only here we say that not only do they have to be, this is mitzvah given over to the great people in wisdom, they also have to be chassidim. They have to be extremely religious, nothing to do with the current group, which refers to itself as chassidim. But they have to be very pious. Chassidim literally means pious. And they have to, their decision decides when Yom Kippur is going to fall, when Pesach is going to fall, so it's very important that they do it accurately. Even though it's really their determination that causes when the holiday is going to be, still, God wants you to do the mitzvah in a certain way, and you have to be very careful about it. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the laws of the mitzvah are as follows. Kigon chkiras edus ha-chodesh. One has to investigate the witnesses to make sure they are not lying. V'iyum ha-edim lifamim. Sometimes you have to threaten the witnesses. V'din chilul Shabbos be'edus o'ketzad. How even the witnesses have to violate Shabbos in order to get to the Bezdin, so that they should be sanctify the moon at their proper time. Ve'al ma me'abrin es hashana, based on what events does one declare a leap year. Ve'al ma ein me'abrin osa, when what one does not declare a leap year, in terms of how you can see that it's still going to be wintry close to Pesach time. Ve'eze chodesh hayu me'abrin, which month they would create a second of in order to create a leap year, and that is v'hu adar. That's it goes on to explain. The drasha is in the Mechilta. You shall this keep this commandment at its proper time. This teaches us she'ein ma'abrin es hashana ela beperek hasomach lemoed. You can only create a leap year when it's getting close to Pesach. So Adar is the last month before Pesach. So you wait till the very last moment. You see things aren't going right. You need another month before springtime. So you make a leap year in the second Adar, yeah.
What is the basis of the authority to have the witnesses be B'chal Shabbos, you know, in order to give Eidus?
I forget the exact drasha, but it has to do with also something about how it has to be Shomarta. You have to make sure that this is done in its proper time.
Just like, say, a bris has to be the eighth day, no matter what, this has to be. Okay,
right. It has to be its proper time, yeah. That's a good question. I think that's the source of it. I think the source of it is that they allowed the witnesses to go back home, even if it was Shabbos, and they didn't technically didn't have any more business being Michal Shabbos because they gave their testimony already. I think they're allowed to go home because otherwise the Chachamim decided that otherwise people wouldn't come and the whole institution would be null and void. So they considered that to be part of the requirement. I believe that's the source for it, yeah. Let's see. Where are we?
I did a third line.
I don't have your addition. Minayin ve'od darshu zichronim livracha.
Thank you.
Oh, it's also interesting, by the way, that you see when they were still making leap years based on actual observation of the seasons. So you have situations where you celebrate Purim in Adar, and then they made a new Adar, so what are you supposed to do? So you have to do it again, because the Purim is supposed to be... Purim has to be in the Adar that's closest to Pesach. So if...
Where's Purim come from?
That's because there are two Purims. There really are two Purims, 2 days of Purim. One, if in a leap year, there's Purim in the first Adar, Purim in the second Adar. The first day is really Purim also. The two Adars are the same. They're both really Adar. So the first Adar is Purim also, but we have a drasha from the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, which states that Purim is supposed to be celebrated in the Adar, which is closest to Pesach, to Nisan. But the first days in the first month of Adar, the 2 days, the 14th and the 15th, are really Purim still. Mm-hmm. So it's appropriate to celebrate them slightly. We don't say Tachanun, etc. Ve'od darshu zichronim livracha, v'pasuk zeh, minayin she'in ma'abrin es hachodesh ela bayom. How do you know you have to conduct the business of declaring the leap year during the daytime? Like many things involving a rabbinic court, the requirement is that it has to be done during the daylight hours. There's a bit of a discussion I was actually just learning recently that some suggest that we should be a little bit more lenient for some purposes now that we have electric lights and you can see very well at night. So we don't really, we don't accept this fully, but some people want to add this in as an extra reason to be lenient in certain situations. So Tamulomar mi yamim yamima, the verse says from days to days, day word, then it has to be during the daytime. The od darshu zichronim livracha, another drasha states, l'chodshei hashana, to the months of the year, chodashim ata mechashev l'shana v'yata mechashev yamim. You count the months to add to a year, and you don't count single days. They also say a month of days. So you can't have a month with fractions of a day in it. It has to be a full day. Days have to be, months have to consist of full days, and years have to consist of full months. Not like, I mean, it's sort of, I mean, no, never mind. It's like a secular leap year that we add. We don't celebrate an extra quarter of a day in February. We just add a full day every 4 years. So the Yeser Proteh, the rest of the details about the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana, Mivar Memaseches Rosh Hashanah, appropriately, they're in the, Rosh Hashanah was the most of the laws of testifying about the new month are found in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, Uva Rishon Shel Sanhedrin, which discusses how courts in general are supposed to conduct themselves, Uva Brachos Kimokin, also in a certain place in Maseches Brachos. Benoheges Bechol Mokom Uvechol Zman Sheyihu Lanu Chacham Smuchim B'tnoim Shekosavnu. And it is applicable in all generations in theory, but there is a slight problem, which is that if you don't have people with real smicha, you can't do it. Ve'over aleha velo asaha, imhu chacham sheroila bital asay. If you are a really big rabbi and yet you refrain from sanctifying the new month when you could have, then you have neglected to perform a positive commandment. The ansho gadol meod, he has very great sin. Punishment, rather, shegorim kilkul hamoados, so that he will cause the holidays to be corrupted, not at their proper times. V'achshav ba'avonoseinu she'einanu ma'abrim shanim al pismuchim. Now that due to our sins, we no longer create leap years based on people who have real rabbinical ordination. Anu somchim b'cheshboneinu. We rely on our calendar, our calculations. On the calculation that we have received from Reb Hillel, as we have discussed. The mitzvah, next mitzvah, is the, well, I don't know if we're going to finish it today, but we can at least get started. We have some time left. The next mitzvah, the fifth one, is the mitzvah Shchitas HaPesach. Is the mitzvah of slaughtering the paschal sacrifice as distinct from eating it and other things surrounding it, which are considered separate mitzvos. So, lishchot b'yom arba'a asar b'nisan bein ho'arbayim, to slaughter on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, as determined by the Beis Din who will have sanctified the month of Nisan, bein ho'arbayim, meaning in the afternoon, between midday and sunset, Set Tamim Zachar Ben Shana, a lamb that without blemish, male in its first year, Ogdi, or a young goat, a kid, but let's not get confused there, between a human kid and a goat kid. A Bebeis HaBechira in the Holy Temple, Vize Nikra Korban HaPesach. This is called the Paschal Offering. Shenemar, it says, V'shachatu oso kol kehal adas Yisrael bein harbayim. The entire Jewish people shall slaughter it in the afternoon. Yeah. V'inyan ha-mitzvahu, the basic idea is as follows. Shemiskabtzin anoshim Yisrael lechaburos. The entire Jewish people divides up into little groups. You can choose your friends, whatever. V'lokchin min ha-shuk o mi-beisam. They can either buy in the marketplace, or if you happen to have a lamb or a goat in your backyard, you could take that too, in theory. Gedi echad ose, a young kid or a lamb. Tamim zachar ben shana, the requirements we discussed. Shochatin oso ba'azaras beis hamikdash. And we slaughter it in the courtyard of the temple. B'yom arba'a asar b'nisan bein harbayim. On the 14th day of Nisan, in the afternoon, v'achar kach l'erev, what happens in the nighttime, ochlin oso bein kulam achar ma'acholam. So the group that has decided to go in a partnership altogether to purchase a korban Pesach, at the nighttime following it, which is the first night of the holiday that we call Pesach, which in the Torah is called Chag HaMatzos, at that point, all that group gets to split this delicious roast meat after they finished eating all the rest of the things that they want to eat. Shemitzvaso lo'ochlo al hasova. The mitzvah of the Korban Pesach is once one's already satiated, one eats the Korban Pesach not to fill them up, but for mitzvah purposes. Of course, one cannot eat one cannot eat the Korban Pesach if one's stuffed to the gills. That's also not good. That's called a chila gasa. It's called coarse eating. And you can't do that. You have to be just satiated, but you still have room for a kizayis of the Korban Pesach, the olives bulk. And we'll discuss, as we mentioned very briefly last time, we're going to discuss a little bit later how much that is. How much is the size of an olive? Mishor she mitzvah zo, from the reasons of this mitzvah, kidei she yizkiru ha-yehudim la'olam, the Jewish people should remember always, ha-nisim ha-gedolim, the great miracles, shasalehem Hashem yisparach b'tzias Mitzrayim, that God performed for us when we left Egypt. So by all gathering together in Yerushalayim and eating the Korban Pesach, partaking in this ritual meat, will help us remember. Of course, we have a lot of other things on Pesach night to help us remember, such as other mitzvahs, which are later in this parsha, such as Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, relating the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and eating matzah, and all these other things. But there are lots of things that we can remind of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the laws of this mitzvah, kigon, zman shchitaso b'yom emas, such as when during the day you can slaughter it, which I'll tell you right now is between which I told you already, really. It was between midday and sunset. But practically speaking, what would happen is that they would slaughter the afternoon tamid, the offering that was offered every day, at the earliest possible time, which is the same time as the earliest time to daven mincha, which is 1.5 hour after midday, just to make sure that the sun's already going towards its setting. It's not way exactly on the top of your head, but rather it's a half an hour later that it's already, you know, on its way to setting. So between that time, the Tamid was shechted at that time, and then afterwards they would begin to slaughter all the Paschal offerings. V'shehu nishchad b'sholosh kitos ba'azara, there would be three different shifts for slaughtering the Korban Pesach, one after the other for the rest of the afternoon. V'chi dochin Shabbos alav, that the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, like the rest of the service in the Holy Temple, set aside the Sabbath. The dine minuyo, how you can join one of the groups that's owning one Korban Pesach. Ukriyas hahalal alav, that when you're slaughtering it and doing all the other services, you have to say halal. This, incidentally, is part of the reason that those who have the custom to bake matzah on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because they hold that you have to bake matzah in the same time that was appropriate to offer the Korban Pesach. Those people who bake matzah on Erev Pesach after Chatzos usually say halal during the baking of the matzah, be as a remnant, as a reminiscence of the Korban Pesach. Uskiyas ha-chatzotzrots, also they would blow trumpets. The Yeser Pratel, the rest of the details, Mivorma Maseches Psachim, where else? This is found in Maseches Psachim. Unoheges v'zcharim uvinikevos bizman habayis. Both men and women are obligated to perform this mitzvah, which is a little bit unusual because, as we know, women are not generally bound by time-bound positive commandments. Mitzvos aseis shahazman grama. But this one, since it's part of the whole remembrance of leaving Egypt, then women are also obligated to be part of a group that goes b'shutfis into the partnership to purchase a Korban Pesach and take part in its all the obligations surrounding it.
Rabbi, are you going to be discussing the Shita of the Rambam you don't need Beis HaMikdash to have Korban Pesach?
Yeah, we're... Bizman HaBayis, yes, of course. Yes, I meant to discuss that. Thank you for reminding me. That it's very interesting here that the Sefer HaChinuch says that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is only applicable Bizman HaBayis, which means during the time where the temple is standing. Because the Mishnah seems to say, and the Rambam Paskins like this, that the offering of sacrifices per se doesn't require the structure of the temple to be built. So based on this, seemingly, we should have no excuse not to offer the Korban Pesach nowadays, because normally you can only offer sacrifices when you're in a state of tahara, of ritual purity, which nobody is nowadays because we have all come into contact with dead bodies at some point, and there's a we don't have a para aduma, a red heifer, that can purify us. Just going to the mikvah itself does not help for tumas meis, for impurity contracted by coming into contact with a dead body. It only helps for all other types of impurities. So since we don't have the red heifer, so we can't become pure from our impurity contracted through dead bodies. But since most of the Jewish people is impure, then that for the Korban Pesach, we can still offer the sacrifice. It's a special halacha by Korban Pesach. So there are a few issues with this. There are some opinions that qualify this, that you don't need the temple structure to be built in order to offer sacrifices. Some say you have to at least begin in the constructing of the temple or other things. Also, you still have to know exactly where the altar, the Mizbeach, is supposed to be located. So some people tell you they do know exactly where the altar is supposed to be located. I know someone in lives in the Old City. Not Temple Institute, he's not associated with them, he has his own thing, where he feels he basically does know where he's a pretty good scholar, and I think he knows what he's doing. But there are others who say, since we don't know exactly for sure where the altar is supposed to be, so we shouldn't do this. There are many issues involved, but certainly if the rabbis would come to the conclusion, I'm also not in favor of some fringe people going and doing it by themselves. That's certainly not appropriate. Even if they really believe it's the right thing to do, you have to have a little bit of seichel about these things. But certainly if the rabbis would all get together and there would be a significant enough consensus that we should perform Korban Pesach nowadays, then we really should perform it. And the Arabs should let us. It's a shanda that the Arabs are dictating to us what we can and cannot do on the Temple Mount because they have control for it. Okay, have control over it.
I believe you wouldn't need a kohen to do the shechita either.
Correct. You would not need a kohen to do the shechita, but you would need a kohen to do the zrika, to sprinkle the blood on the altar. So that would also assume that you would need to have a kohen whose lineage is really well known and that you're sure he's a kohen. That's another problem that the postgame have not exactly gotten on board with performing Korban Pesach nowadays. But if they would do it, then it would be a very nice unifying thing for the Jewish people, and it would be an important gesture to show that the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount, is really for our worship. And they have their mosques there now, but we have to learn to share. That's all.
Isn't there a group that does Korban
Pesach? The Samaritans? The Samaritans still perform Korban Pesach, but that's something else. They do their own version of Korban Pesach on Har Gerizim, where their temple is located.
But
yeah, still even nowadays. I'm saying there's always some people who, even regular Jews, I mean regular is relative, but who buy an animal and they want to perform Korban Pesach that year because you really can. But if it's just the issue is just the tumah, but let's just finish up quickly. The over aleha, the mezid velo asa pesach chayav karis. If you willingly do not perform the korban pesach, you're chayav karis with spiritual excision, which we discussed already. Beshogeg, if you don't do it by accident, enu mevi korban. You do not bring a korban chatas. Normally, when you sin regarding a mitzvah that whose punishment is karis, you have to bring what's called a korban chatos, a sin offering. But in this case, you don't have to bring a sin offering. Lefi shehu echad mishlosha chatoim, there's one of the three sins, shebizdonan karis, ve'ein b'shigigasan chatos. If you do it on purpose, you're liable for karis, but if you do it by accident, you're not liable to bring a chatos. Ve'hen zeh, one of them is korban pesach, one of them is umegadif, if you desecrate, you blaspheme the name of God, umevatel mila, and you do not perform mitzvah circumcision, you also do not have to bring a sin offering.
Well, even the Torah, it was a Pesach Sheni. For the Torah, you can't do Pesach.
Right, Pesach Sheni is when most of the tzibor, most of the Jewish people, is tahor, and you can perform the mitzvah of Korban Pesach Betara the way it's supposed to be. Then the minority that's Tomei brings Pesach Sheni. But if most people are Tomei, then the whole Jewish people can do normal Pesach.